Now, turning to the world of tennis, there are two supermen, and today one of them, Rafael Nadal, proved mortal. He was beaten at the French Open, where he had won 31 straight matches and 4 straight titles. The Giant Slayer was seated 23rd. He's a Swede named Robin Söderling. Now, tennis is not exactly a regular feature here on NPR, but last July at Wimbledon, Nadal faced off with the other leading man of tennis, Roger Federer. Their championship match went the full 5 sets, almost 5 hours in all, including 2 lengthy rain delays, a marathon that lasted well into the dusk. One of the best tennis matches of all time, and we're not kidding here. And on the show, we knew we needed to do something, and quick. So we placed a panicked call to John Wertheim of Sports Illustrated. He was at Wimbledon, and we broke into the program just after Nadal pulled off a win for the ages.
Right. This was just sensational. I mean, it's just, it's hard to sort of steer clear of cliche, but it was just one of those goosebumps sporting events. It was just perfect.
John Wertheim has written a new book about that Wimbledon final. It's called Strokes of Genius, Federer, Nadal, and the Greatest Match Ever Played. Now, that's a bold statement. Many tennis fanatics point to the 1980 final between Bjorn Borg and John McEnroe as the greatest ever. So, John Wertheim, make your case. Why was this better?
I stand by that statement. I think qualitatively this was just a superb match. I mean, as you said, this went 5 sets, and yet there were only 5 double faults, and the points were so riveting. The Borg-McEnroe final, as good as that was, there was one set that was 6-1, not so competitive. These sets were all 6-4s and 7-6, and the last one 9-7. And, you know, it's funny, McEnroe was actually broadcasting that match, and Borg was behind the baseline, some sort of a dignified guest. And by the time the match was over, the two of them had conceded that, yes, 2008 was now the best match ever played.
Yeah. Could you read a little bit from your introduction? It's really great writing.
Sure. Beyond their records, their rivalry was heightened by clashing styles. One could spend hours playing the compare and contrast game. Federer versus Nadal embodies righty versus lefty. Federer's classic technique versus Nadal's ultra-modern game. Federer's feline light versus Nadal's bovine heavy. Federer's middle European restraint and quiet meticulousness versus Nadal's Iberian bravado and passion. Federer's dignified power versus an unapologetic whooping brutality. Federer's Zeus versus Nadal's Hercules.
That's really, really good. Up to that point, Roger Federer had been the king. He had won 5 straight Wimbledons, and Nadal seemed to be the only guy capable of challenging him.
Right. It's part of what made this narrative so gripping, that for many years, Federer was this genius, this ultra-talented player, and it seemed like the other players just sort of said, hey, I've got the misfortune of being born at a time that coincides with this guy. I'll be number 4 in the world, and that'll be good enough. And Nadal was really the first guy who really stood up and said, you know what, I'm going to try and take this guy down, and worked on his game and made certain sort of subtle tactical adjustments, and he kept getting closer and closer at Wimbledon. This was the 3rd straight final they'd met, and finally this was the match where he really completed this takeover. It really sort of was this regime change.
First set, Roger Federer to serve.
The final. Ready. Wimbledon 2008. Here we go.
Play.
You also say that in the very first point in the match, this was the perfect prelude. Why is that?
You know, like any sport, tennis usually has this feeling out process where it takes a few games for the players to get warmed up. The first point of the match was this exceptional point where they're running each other all over the court, and it was just absolutely sensational, and Nadal won it with this no-way-in-the-world winner, and right away they sort of set the tone with that point, and really the level of tennis for the next 4.5 hours didn't drop much.
So Nadal took the first 2 sets, and he appears to be cruising to his first Wimbledon title. Then in the 3rd set, Federer comes out, and it's riveting, guns blazing, wins on a tiebreaker despite a rain delay, and we're up to the 4th set now. Nadal was up 5-2, and he could have closed it out with one more point, but that didn't happen. What did?
Yeah, it was just amazing. And it's funny, when as much as we've seen Federer, we had never really seen him, as the cliche goes, dig deep. We'd never seen him sort of ask these questions of himself, because he was just so talented, he'd usually cruise. And here he was down 2 sets to love, then suddenly he's down a match point, and we saw a side of Federer that really hadn't been on display before, which is the real competitor, somebody who really showed a taste for battle.
Again, Federer.
Tim Henman, that had looked very unlikely 3 minutes ago when Nadal had 3 break points.
Nadal had so many chances to win the whole tournament, and he kept letting Federer off the hook. Then comes another rain delay, excruciating. And then Nadal had some time to think about all of those missed opportunities. What was that like for him? You talked to him.
You know, he was in the locker room, and his uncle, who's his coach, had come in. And the last rain delay, Nadal was playing so well, his uncle said, look, nothing I can do is going to help. You're playing great. Keep it up. And the uncle actually took a nap in the Wimbledon locker room during the final. The second rain delay, they're in the fifth set. The situation's changed a little bit, and the uncle appears nervous. And this time it's Nadal who comforts his uncle and says, you know what? I won the first two sets. I can win the fifth set. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. And it really was revealing. You know, you live for these moments. Nadal would be crushed if he'd lost this match, especially after coming so close. And yet he's the one that's projecting this calm.
And it just is going to take something special for somebody to end this match.
It might just take the clock. We're approaching 9 o'clock. I mean, one can imagine a 9:30 finish, perhaps.
So the match goes well past 9 p.m. local time. Now, Wimbledon isn't really equipped for that. What was it like so late at night?
It was getting increasingly dark, which sort of only added to this almost cinematic feel to it. Players were having a hard time seeing the ball. It was past 9 o'clock in the evening. They told Nadal at one point, you got to win this game or else we're going home and finishing on Monday. And it seemed scripted from a cheesy Hollywood movie that right before dark, one player decisively wins this. And it went down to the last minute.
There's a new man at the head of men's tennis, Rafael Nadal.
6-4, 6-7, 6-7, 9-7.
Bring back the moods of each of those men right afterward.
It really was this dethroning. And you really felt as they stood there on the court, Federer, an emotional guy to begin with, is starting to leak tears and his voice is starting to catch, and Nadal is overcome by emotion. The King of Spain is there. And there was one moment that still to this day just gets me every time. They were both circling the court and they're going in counter directions. And it's, you know, it's pitch dark. The flash bulbs are the only thing illuminating court. Everybody's still just in this thrall, and they pass each other and no choreography, nothing prearranged. They walk by each other and just sort of casually slap five. And that moment just gets me every time. It was just, it said so much about the moment itself, so much about their respect for each other. But it really was, you look back at that match, and it really was a big turning point in both of their careers.
And the Wimbledon Gentlemen's Singles Champion for 2008, Rafael Nadal.
John Wertheim writes about tennis for Sports Illustrated. His new book is called Strokes of Genius, Federer, Nadal, and the Greatest Match Ever Played. Of course, until there's some replay, huh, John?
Could be a while.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.